Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, this is Bobby Curnow, and you are going to have a shell of a good time inside the pull bag.
Who wants cornflakes?
I'm having Raisin Bran.
Choco Puffs for me.
You wouldn't have any real food, would you?
Of course. Sushi?
I guess I can hold out until we get up to the street.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 507. That's right, folks, 507. This is not a new record. Well, it technically is, but it isn't. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, sort of, as always, I guess a year apart, is Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm back.
Yes, you're back, and we're going to have a shell of a good time, aren't we, as always?
Oh, yeah. It's still, the pandemic just, like, messed up my sense of time. It doesn't even feel like that. Like, issue 100 still feels brand new to me, but what are, you know, that's, it's been so long, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to actually be reading these, because, man, the post-100 run, I can't believe we're there and in new territory.
Yeah, pretty much. Multiple territories. yes, we're here. We're going to be talking about what they are branding. And I love that they did this. I love that they did, like, okay, we're going to do 101, 102. Like, they're not going to renumber. They're not going to make it a different. They technically did make it a different title, but it's still Turtles. It's still the Turtles we've known from the beginning, but we're doing TMNT Volume 1. So this is TMNT Reborn Volume 1. This collects issues 101 to 105. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles From the Ashes. Oh boy. And the creative has changed.
Where's Tom?
Well, he's here, sort of. He's consulting, but yes, apparently Mr. Wallace needed a little bit of a break, and deservedly so. I mean, you work on 100 issues plus whatever other mini-sodes, you're going to need to not necessarily step away, but you're going to need to do a little bit of vacation. But we have Sophie Campbell with the script and the art, with Rhonda Pattinson on the colors, Sean Lee on the letters. As I said, story consultants were Kevin Eastman and Tom Waltz. Very, very cool. And I love that we start out with this map, at least in the trade video. I don't know about the singles.
Yeah, in the singles we don't. And it's, at least in the singles as well, it doesn't have that subtitle. It's just Ninja Turtles number 101.
Yeah.
The Reborn thing, I think they did with the trades.
Yep.
To make that just kind of stand out. And I remember Bobby Curnow in some interview I read somewhere said that they were fighting the higher-ups in that they did not want to renumber Ninja Turtles. They didn't want to start over at issue one. They wanted to keep it going. And I'm glad that at least as of the most recent issue in stores right now, they have not renumbered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going to renumber something, make it a subtitle. Make it separate.
And, oh boy, it's been a full year since we did issue 100, or it's been over a full year. We did that August 25th of 2021. And like always, I don't read these ahead of time. I read them for the show, so I get the most raw reaction I can get out of these. And I forgot Splinter dies.
Yeah, we're coming off of City at War, where Splinter ended up sacrificing himself to save the family. He's dead. And as I opened the book and saw the page where they're mourning over his body, beautifully drawn, Sophie, thank you. I remembered, I was reminded rather of how when this series started and they got to that, I think it's issue 5 where the flashback happens where Hamato was a human and his 4 sons were human in ancient Japan. And watching that, reading that comic, I realized as a new father at the time that I related to Splinter more than I did with the Turtles. When I was a kid growing up, I was the Turtles. They were my jam. But then from that issue on, I saw what was happening from the point of view of Splinter. And now here's Splinter dying. I'm like, wait, no. It's like a key player. It's the grounding force taken out from under the Turtles. And everything from here on out is new.
Yeah, it's all new, all different, all everything. Even though it's still the same characters, it's still like they're in new situations. I mean, you know, all that stuff. And both of them are gone, right? Splinter and Shredder, both.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing here, too, City of War was the end of the original Mirage run. And for the whole 100 issues, they've been pulling from all the different histories, but largely their journey was kind of running in parallel to the original Mirage run with cool things mixed in. But Splinter doesn't die in that book until volume 4, where, you know, nobody read those issues at the end. Very few people read them. But with this, their skeleton, the skeleton of the book that had been kind of supporting it, is now gone, and we are definitely in uncharted territory. Reborn, if you will, as the subtitle of the trades say.
Yep. And I know I've said this before, and however many years it's been since we've been doing this, I think we've been doing this since 2014, late 2013, early 2014, when we started this series. God. This is January of 2023, folks. If my brain is right in saying, I think we released our first episode in April of 2014 or March of 2014, which means we are almost a year away from a decade of doing this comic on this podcast.
Wow. Yeah, because it was, you know, my son's 11. And that makes sense, because the book started when he was a baby. So,
yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right. Because holy crap. Let's see. Your Origins was September 4th of 2013, and then we did that. Where is the other thing? TMNT Volume 2, and where's IDW? TMNT Volume 1. Oh wow. Third week of wow. We are exactly 1 year away from the 10-year anniversary. January 22nd of 2014 is when we did this originally, when we started Volume 1, and this will air January 18th, 2023. So we are pretty much a year away from a decade of doing Turtles. Holy crap. That's so cool. But yeah, I mean, this I've said it since the beginning, you know, and you convinced me, and I'm glad, but I almost wanted nothing to do with this. As soon as I saw the red bandanas in the very beginning, way back when, I'm like, oh God, not, because I was the cartoon kid. I was the kid that found them. Like, I didn't read the. I still, to this day, have never read the original things that Eastman and Laird did. Not that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I just never did. And ever since then, there hasn't really been any convincing needed, because holy pizza, this, like, just. It's just everything, and you're right. This is change. This is new. This is, holy crap, what are they going to do without their father? And, you know, you have them dealing with all of that morning. You have April doing her job with Baxter, because I guess Baxter's the mayor now or whatever. And then you have this, and I believe it's narrated by Donnie. At first, I wasn't sure. Like, I thought they were all narrating different I didn't realize it was one voice, but it is Donnie narrating, like, who's, you know, like, Mikey's curled up in a ball, Raph's out doing his Street Avenger thing. Oh wait, Street Avenger was Knight Rider, whoops, sorry. But his whole black bandana, you know, I'm not doing, you know, I'm just doing whatever. And, you know, you have the little I think the only character we don't see in this, not that we need to see them, but we don't see the Purple Dragons, and which technically we don't see Casey.
Yeah.
But really quickly, I want to go back before we really dig deeper into this. But this map, man. Whoo, boy. This thing is like, so zones of control. The blue on the map is the Mafia gang subservient to Karai. The purple is the Purple Dragons, obviously. The dark, I guess, navy bluish or whatever color it is Mutant Town, and the yellow is the Collateral Dragon Damage Zone, whatever the hell that is. Now, looking at this page, at the very top left northwest corner, you have the EPF HQ about, I don't know, let's say 26 blocks south of that, you have the Foot Clan HQ. And then over on the northeast side, you have Harold's Lab all the way up northeast there. And then, obviously, Mutant Town, basically.
The mutant bomb went off.
Where the mutant bomb went off. I want to say maybe by the East River. I don't know, whatever it is. But, like, you know, close to that section is where the Turtles' Lair is. And then the rest of it is just, like, we don't know what is there. But watching, I don't think there have been, at this point, there have been three times in this comic series that there have been more than three times that it's gotten emotional, but like really big emotional change. When they were looking for Raph, when Donnie died, supposedly at the time, like issue 44 to 48 or 49 or 44, 50. So all that. And now the fallout of losing their father and taking us, even though Donnie's narrating, but taking us into each turtle and each character and what they're going through and what they are doing to deal or not deal. Like, Mikey's just curled up with this kitten he has, and he's not getting out of bed. I love it.
I think it's been 6 months at this point, and they're all still just not dealing with it.
Yep. It's been 6 months since the bomb went off, and I love that. Normally, I'm perfectly fine with, like, a comic ending on something, an event or whatever, and then kind of leaving you on a cliffhanger, and then doing the whole 6 month later thing, because I don't necessarily need to know what happens, like, right after the bomb goes. Like, we saw what happened after the bomb went off. We know, this is where the status quo is going to end up or whatever we think we know. And now we see it 6 months later, and everybody, the whole universe here has changed, and it's so good.
This run got, And this is something that I think we'll go into later as this as the issues go on. But this run got a lot of tongue lashing on the internet. There's a lot of hate. And
yeah, well,
I looked at this, especially rereading it this moment. It's an emotional story, and it's emotional action, and it's character development, characters learning and growing. I don't need my comics to be full of fight scenes. In fact, they generally can get boring. This is interesting, especially because it's taking the Turtles to a place where they haven't been before, literally.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't necessarily, like, look here, folks, I'm going to say this right now. My goal is for Joe and I to cover as much IDW TMNT as we can between January 2023 and December of 2023. Whatever we need to do to get current over the next year, we will do it, which is separate from the IDW universe, but which includes eventually The Last Ronin. We will be reading that at some point, but this, I don't understand people on the internet.
I understand where they're coming from, but it doesn't, I don't know, man. Like, can you say that their opinion is wrong? It's their opinion.
No, aren't right or wrong. I mean, they're opinions. You can agree with them or disagree with them if they have it. But what I remember seeing when this first started, let's just say these first five issues, 101 to 105, because it's not Tom, because it was Sophie instead of Tom, I saw a bunch of articles and a bunch of tweets and a bunch of what, and I don't even remember. I just remember that I saw it, and I'm just like, shut up, read the book. What have I said from day one after you convinced me? What have I said? This is the most emotional, best storytelling Turtles has ever had in nearly 40 years.
It makes me care as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be entertained in that kind of popcorn way anymore because I'm a grown up, and this has popcorn moments. But it's an emotional story, and
technically it has pepperoni moments. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, when an opinion, and I'm using this word improperly, the word opinion, but when people's opinion on what they were reading in this book was wrong, was when, as I read their critique, it felt like they got the foundation elements of the Turtles wrong. And for them, the Turtles are ninja martial artists who beat people up. Yep. And for you and I, and watching the original movie and watching the original cartoon and some of those things, the Turtles were people who make friends out of their villains. They make family out of
the
villains, and the Turtles are about family, and that's what it's always been, even before they knew that's what it was about. That's what the Turtles was about. They just happened to be ninjas.
Yeah.
And so this is, we're getting to see them be very human, emotional things, families, human emotional characters going through severe family trauma and mental health issues. And hey, that's interesting. You know, I'm watching people who I'm rooting for.
Yeah. And throughout this whole first trade, these first five issues, 101 to 105, we see almost everybody. I mean, we see like out of the Turtles, we see the turtle, but like, as I'm reading this trade, I'm like, okay, I know Donnie's narrating. But where's Donnie? What, like, I was like, what's, well, you know, and then late, you know, we'll get to it later when he writes the note. But I love that the focus is on Jenica, is on Alopex, is on Mutant Town, is on Old Hob and all of that, on Sally, Leo, and Raph, and Mike, and Mikey. I mean, I love that Donnie is the narrator, is essentially the the director of traffic, sort of, and we don't see that. And in the first issue, you see all this stuff that's going on, like with these three mutants that are going to rough somebody up for some groceries, or, you know, because there's no food in Mutant Town. And the other thing is, and we don't need to bury the lead about this, there's a wall, folks. They built a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to say it like that to where referencing former ex oranges and all that and everything else, but it's a walled off part of the city. Mutant Town is, you know, cut off from the rest of the city, even though it's still in the city. It's like, you know, do not pass go, do not collect.
Yeah, no in or out.
Yeah, no nothing.
If our listeners need a reminder, they were, at the end of 100, a mutagen-loaded bomb went off. Old Hob set it off and mutated a substantial portion of the city. And as a response to that, they've shoved all the mutants into this one town, this one little section of town, walled it off and said, nobody goes in or out because we don't know if that mutagen is nasty. And I'm reading this going, man, it feels like the pandemic. It feels mm-hmm. like segregation. And yep. It's these weird little things happening. And the mental health stuff, like April is overwhelmed with work and they show her in her apartment and it's demolished. It's not her. I mean, not her fault. There's the mental health thing where she just doesn't feel like she has the time or energy to pick up, to clean, to organize. And, you know, bless her heart. I think, you know, I've been there and I know people I know have been there.
Yep.
This is just, wow. Yeah, man. I don't know how can read this and not see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm there currently. Like, hello. Like I said, we haven't done the, we haven't recorded. And it's because life has gotten in the way, you know, you're busy, I'm busy, whatever. And, you know, my whole life got uprooted, you know, in, you know, it's January 2023, it'll, you know, November 2023, it'll be 2 years. But in 2021, Karen died. Mm-hmm. It sucks. And I'm not trying to say that in a whatever tone. But like I said, when we released issue 100 in August of 2021, and then we released the Turtles 3 commentary in 2022 in March, and then in April we did MMPR TMNT. From, you know, in April of 2022, I'm surprised we got that podcast done, because I was spending 11, 12 hours a day not doing podcast stuff, but I was trying to find a new place to live because I no longer had Karen. We no longer lived together. She passed away. So I had to find a whole new way of life. So in a way, you know, all the recordings up until I think episode 505 and 506, 502 was recorded. Anyway, 503 and 504 were pre-recorded before I ended up moving, most likely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am in the present where I have moved from Washington to Indiana. And that mental health, man, like, it's serious shit. And it's one of those things where I enjoy reading the, like, I said, after I read this, I messaged you and I said, oh my God, what a story. We have so much to talk about, because comic books aren't just, they haven't been this for a long time. They aren't just insert superhero here with a cape, with a symbol on it, on their chest, who, you know, whether they're male, female, or otherwise, come in, punch somebody, save the day, fly off to their fortress of whatever. You know, it isn't that new. It hasn't been that for a long time.
No, and it's something that I want to look at and study someday, but I think the superheroes and superhero culture in movies and the comics and everything like that, I think these are our Greek and Roman gods. You know, like the bard came to town on Wednesdays in ancient Greek times and sang about the new stories of Hercules and Odysseus, and all the kids and families would come and they'd listen to this guy tell these stories. And well, now we don't have Zeus and Hera running around, we have Wonder Woman and Daredevil. They are our Greek gods, and it's through them that we learn the parables and the monomyth, it's all these human stories being told to us in different ways and helping us cope and helping us live through them. And I mean, since my sense of time is all jacked up ever since 2019. And so when did Sophie start writing this? Because like she's writing our lives.
She started in issue 101. Whenever issue 101 was originally published, I don't have it pulled up.
I have that date.
But that's when she started.
This is, I've wanted to interview Sophie for a number of years now.
Yeah.
And now I really want to see because it's 2019, December of 2019. So this would have been. Okay, the March of 2019 was when the pandemic really hit. Is that right?
Yeah.
So this was 6 months, 8 months after it really got weird.
Yeah.
I think pulling from that reality, perhaps.
Yeah, pretty much. And the thing of it is it's like being a writer in general is difficult. It's a difficult job because you have to juggle so many various things and so many people are so good at it. But being a writer artist,
I don't know how you breathe.
I mean, I guess the work is how, you know, it's just like, you know, just like how me as a podcaster, you know, I record, I host, I edit, I, you know, whatever, but like writing and drawing this comic with how emotional these scripts are and, these scripts are so filled with juggling emotions because not every character is the same. Not every character feels the same. Uh-huh. Like Jenny may feel different than Alopex. Raph may feel different than blah, blah, blah. Mikey's over here. Leo's. The fact that later where Donnie narrates and says Leo has kind of lost the whole interest in being the leader of Clan Hamata. I'm like, oh, holy crap. Like, yeah. And then you have all the introduction of all the new characters because, you know,
so many new characters.
Yep. What's her
dude, name? I'm only looking at page 8 of 5 issues. We're just so excited.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely we are. Absolutely. This is fun. This is great. And like I said about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, I purposefully don't read this until we want to discuss it because it's not that I don't want to support the book. It's that I want to have this visceral, emotional reaction because I know after almost a decade of us reviewing this series that they are going to basically pluck out our heartstrings with like they're going to get us into these new characters and they're going to get us feeling about them and they're going to, you know, show us what's going on with the characters we know and love from the past 100 and whatever issues, and off we go on this adventure. And we have so many little mini adventures. We have battle scenes in here. I mean, this second issue we have Jenny fighting these new characters who are trying to steal, I forget what is her name? The new lizard girl.
Mona Lisa. This is Mona Lisa coming back from cartoon.
Yep.
A new interpretation. She looks and feels like Irma to me, but not as dorky.
Yeah. I see the panel where she says, "That's so cool, a real Ninja Turtle." I'm Mona Lisa, by the way. And yes, just like the painting. Yeah, her face, the way Sophie drew her face, the glasses, and all of that. Yeah, it definitely reminds me of Irma. Absolutely it does. And so we get Mona Lisa, and we get Jenica, and then we get, you know, just the... And that's just the first issue. So we leave off on this where apparently the boss comes in. Because the other three are like, oh, we're going to get the boss. And the boss is apparently this new character, Diamond, who apparently is some sort of porcupine?
Porcupine, yeah.
Oh my god, a porcupine mutant. Wow. What a way to be. And yeah. Starting with 102, we get Raph and Pepperoni. Pepperoni's face.
Getting so much expression out of that little baby Ceratopsian.
Yep. How about we patrol just a little longer, then we'll call it a night. Her face, man, just wow. And then we see Sally from the Mutanimals, and Sally and Raph have a conversation.
Yep, Sally's having regrets for helping Hob because Hob has taken charge of the mutant town and running it like a little fiefdom and taking more and more power, rationing things. It's not really working out for the regular folks. Yeah. And it's interesting to realize here to Raph being the vigilante protecting the city. He's doing what he's always wanted to do. He's wanted to be that superhero protecting the regular folks. That's like the job. He doesn't want to do the ninja stuff, worrying about clan wars. He doesn't want to go to space. He wants to protect the neighborhood, and that's what he's doing here. And I think he says here in one of these things that he left Northampton where the other turtles are because he went to New York because he just can't stand to be around them moping around. You know, Raph is going to be mourning too, but he's going to be mourning in his own way, which is to say completely shelled up inside, taking it out on thugs. He's hurting too, but he has to be doing something, and that's his coping mechanism for that sadness. When the pandemic was really raging and it was hard for me, the only place I felt like myself was at work, working with my students. And that's interesting.
So talk to me about that just a little bit. I mean, you went on as a focus super hard on it, but like, you know, you're a teacher, you teach in a school, your students come to class, the pandemic hits, all of a sudden everybody is Zoom boomers and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. So for you, as somebody who is, from our friendship and what I've known, like, you're a very hands-on teacher. How do you teach with the classes, with the subjects that you teach over the internet?
We really couldn't, because I teach design and construction, and you know, how do you do blueprint drawings when the students have notebook paper and no way to show you a drawing? You know, no computers, no drafting stuff, and construction. Like, you guys have to learn how to frame a house. How are you going to do that over the internet? And so what I did was that I turned everything sideways and started dealing with mental health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was the teacher that took the time to say, how are you doing? What do you need? Are you okay? Hey, look at this cool, fun hobby you can do with no money and no time. Look at this, guys. And I don't want to say I was entertaining them, because it wasn't like Joe Reed Circus time, but doing everything I could to keep them healthy. And when school went back in person, and we were working, and there was a period where we couldn't get within so many feet and we all had to wear masks. But when it got kind of back to normal, it's still mental health time, and being in front of those computers and sequestered away has really messed with a lot of people. Even though it feels like we're back to normal, we're not back to normal yet. So I've still really been pushing the mental health and finding something to be excited about. Motivation is gone. So like, I'm reading this comic going like, I see all of this stuff, the panda, and each of the turtles Donatello is very pragmatic. I think that may be why he survived this without really having a scar like the other guys. But each of them is dealing with it. And April, I guess a fourth person dealing with this stress, a lot like we all dealt with stuff during the pandemic, just kind of shutting down or hiding in our work. It was very, very neat. I have to hear if all of that was deliberate on Sophie's part, or channeling it accidentally or deliberately. So good.
Yeah, it is so very good. And I mean, you know, they try to call April and she, you know, clicks the call, you know, doesn't accept the call. She tries to call them. Mikey just looks at it and takes his, I believe it's Clunk, his new cat, and just kind of walks out of the kitchen. And
Clunk was in the Mirage comic.
Okay. Well, this far, whatever.
It's a Christmas episode.
Yep. You know, and Mikey's walking out of the kitchen and Leo's walking in and they just kind of pass each other without saying a word. And you just kind of see how the, you know, three of them are just not, they're just not. And eventually, Leo, how do we fix this? Nobody says anything, even though we all have so much we need to talk about. And I don't know, maybe we can't fix it.
Maybe it doesn't need to be fixed? Does he say that?
Well, they say,
oh, maybe we shouldn't
fix it. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. It hit me really, really bad. And we haven't been to Northampton since, I want to say somewhere around issue 28, 29. Wasn't that the original Northampton run?
I can't remember if they went back after they went to space.
Yeah, I don't remember. So listeners, please let us know. And, you know, we see, you know, them try, you know, this is Donnie. So this is Leo and Donnie saying that maybe we shouldn't. And Donnie goes, see, the thing with me is the thing that throws me off with some of the character designs in the Northampton style, in the Northampton stuff here. And this is not Sophie's fault. This is just me. But like, Donnie goes up to Mikey's door. Hey, Mikey, he's in a blue sweatshirt with gray pants and he's not wearing his bandana.
Okay. So, yeah, all their bandanas are tied around that stick by Splinter's body.
Body out in the woods, right. So he goes, hey, Mikey, the next panel is a beat of him just standing there, no answer. And he's like, okay. And it isn't until I see him packing up and I see him writing the note when he has the purple cap on. And I was like, okay, this is Donnie. I now get it. Like, at first, I wasn't sure which. I thought it was Leo. I thought it was whatever. But it's not. It's Donnie. So we have Donnie leaving the farmhouse, going into the city. And we see, you know, as he's leaving, we see Leo kind of walking away out in the snow. And they walk. There's a panel. Oh, my. I can't. But there's a panel in here. And again, ever since, it's been a while since we've done one of these, folks. And I don't want to go into my Amazon rant about them buying Comixology and screwing it up, but I still have the Comixology app on my phone, and I'm looking at a full panel image, not necessarily zoomed in, but in the guided view on my Pixel 6 Pro from Google, and you see Donnie walking one way and Leo walking the other, you know, two paths diverged in a snowy wood, and it's such a great image, but it's breaking my heart because they all are going their separate ways and they don't know how to deal with this mental health stuff that they're doing. And then you see Mikey with Clunk in the window watching them walk away from each other, and it just kills me.
There's that part of Michelangelo who's watching that happen, who's just dying inside.
Yep.
And he's numb to that. Even numb to that. He is the glue of that family, and he just doesn't have enough energy to care.
Nope. He doesn't have enough energy to care. And
he doesn't have enough energy to feel it. That's a better way to say it, because I know he cares. That's the point.
He does care, but it's such a... When you lose somebody, parent, significant other, you know, any family member, friend, whatever, but when you lose somebody that's especially a parent, with everything that this family, just the four of them, have gone through, being human, the reincarnation, all this stuff, everything that has happened in this series to those five people, Splinter, Leo, Donnie, Mikey, and Raph, we get to this point, and Splinter is now gone. And like I said earlier, they all have to figure out what to do, what is next. There is no... At some point, yes, they are all still family, but at some point, the team mentality is gone, and it's all about them. It's all about them and as individuals. So the I, there is an I in team at this point, because it isn't about being a team. It's about discovering how they are going to fix the emotional damage that was caused by losing their father.
Their anchor, the one who kept them together, who banged Raphael back into shape, who... I mean, it's... I'm thinking... this comic is bringing up so much from my own life here. Like, when my... when both of my grandparents on my mom's side finally died, largely, the family stopped really getting together for the holidays. They were the anchors. And, like, we've all had to kind of move on to figure out how to be our own anchor for ourselves or for other people. And that's what the turtles are doing. They don't have anything holding them together, and they're going to have to reconstruct that. And how many of these readers on the internet didn't see that or weren't able to care about that?
They're reading the wrong comic. If they want just the, like you said earlier, just the traditional turtles fight villains, either win or lose, that's not this. This is way more than your standard story. So we go to old Hob, and we get the new porcupine character. I believe the character's name is Diamond. And you can't let Sally fire me. You're just going to leave me in the streets and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, did you hear what I said? Leave the premises or face some real consequences. And Hob pulls a gun on this character. And it's like, holy crap. Like, I know Hob is who Hob is and all that, but...
Sally says earlier, mutants don't kill mutants. And that's one of the Mutanimals rules. But here's old Hob almost breaking that. I mean, that gun stays out for a while. And I was waiting for the gunshot to go off camera. Yeah. Like, I just expected it to happen because that's where we are right now.
Yep. And old Hob is going to work with Koya and
who is Bludgeon.
But yeah, Koya and Bludgeon. I was going to say something else, but yeah, it's Koya and Bludgeon, and they've got whatever deal they're doing.
Yeah, the Hob is doing some real shady here. He's selling or trading mutants to the Foot Clan so they can get trained up as foot ninja type.
Yeah.
Like more Koya and Bludgeons. And that's like human mutant trafficking.
It's mutant trafficking. Essentially.
It goes right up against even Hob's misaligned sense of morality.
Yeah.
He crossed the line, man.
Yeah. And then we get, I think it's Leo. I think it's Leo that reads Donnie's note. Guys, I'm headed to the city. Don't worry, I won't be away too long, but I need to get out and think and think about things. I need to work on myself right now. Love you, Donnie. And just God. And then we go to Sally and Jenica and who's the other turtle there? That's Raph. Duh. See, it,
no headbands, no clue.
The only way I know it's Raph is because he's really scowling. The only one. He's scowling, but like the black on it, you know, the black armbands, and I'm like, oh, AZ, that turtle is much larger. Okay, so it's not okay. It's Raph, yeah. And then obviously Pepperoni is there, so obviously it's Raph. And yeah. And they talk about the new hedgehog character, where Sally says, it would have been easy when the mutanimals were just me, Hob, Ray, Lindsay, Mondo, but it's not that at all anymore. Now we're like an army or a police force, you know. Ray and Herman just follow whatever crazy orders Hob gives them. Mondo and Seymour didn't want to be a part of what Hob was doing anymore, so they hit the road. Lindsay's human, so she got evacuated. I don't like this any more than you do, but I'm pretty much on my own here, guys. And it's extra hard trying to wrangle the worst enforcers like Diamond. And you see Alopex pulling out the porcupine pricks for the porcupine needles from Jenny. I hate her. Ouch! Again, character just character stuff everywhere. And Diamond goes in, when we go back to old Hob, and Diamond goes in and sees what kind of mutants old Hob is going to be giving the, like, to be trained. And once again, he pulls the gun on Diamond, and all right, that's it. So the mutants escaped because Diamond was messing with them, and Koya's like, Hob, shut up and get Karai's mutants back. And these new mutant animals, I mean, mutanimals here, like, food, like, they're essentially little kids still.
They're just children, and he was going to trade them out.
Yeah, again, going to the whole trafficking thing. And again, I have to say, I'm so glad I did not read this in single. It would kill me. This, for me, this series is not to be read month to month, because I would be on pins and needles.
I think that's the point. Well, although I know. I like that I get to read it both ways, because I do read it when it comes out. And I've been doing a real bad job of that lately, so I'm very glad to be going back through it. But I always catch things in a different way going back through it when I don't have to wait, and when it all stays fresh.
Yeah. And we get to Donnie in the city, and he goes and sees April, and can I hang out here for a little while? It's kind of freezing outside, and they have a conversation, which is really, really cool. Kind of reminds me, it isn't really, like, Donnie doesn't have a crush on April or anything, but this is the one place he know he can go. But it reminds me of the 2012 cartoon where that Donnie, voiced by Rob Paulsen, did have a crush on April. Just reminds me of that.
Same way.
Yeah, just a little bit. But there is no, like, human turtle relations here.
And this scene hit me again with the house being destroyed, and she's got this shame, like she doesn't want him to see it, but he assures her, like, no, there's no judgment. We've all been through this, it's very hard as the person with the messy space to want to let people in to be there with you, or to even, like, Donnie offers to help, and she doesn't want the help because it's her stuff, it's her mess, and how bad she would feel. It's such a real moment, and straight from pandemic times.
Yeah, exactly. And we go to Raph and Raph and Jenny, and Raph says, I do pay attention, and I'm gonna keep doing my own thing. She's like, why? Huh? I said, why? What are you going to do? Go mope and brood some more? So they have a whole fight here.
She's letting him have it.
Oh, she's... she's not only letting him have it, she's basically giving him what for. And like, they go back and forth. Like, they're, you know, stubborn, you know, we always, but like, you know, when Raph gets, what, I'm going to kick your ass. And she just, you know, basically stands above him and says, then do it.
Do it.
What is wrong with you? You guys just let everything fall apart. Splinter's gone, but I thought we'd come together, be a clan. You guys would show me the ropes. You know, and just, oh, man. It's just so, so, such a good, good conversation and good. And I don't know what those people supposedly saw when they read this, but they weren't looking in the right place, because Sophie is just doing an amazing job. We haven't really talked about the art, but the colors in this, Rhonda's colors, man, like Sophie's drawings and Rhonda's colors, that's a combination you cannot beat. Basically, this entire book, wherever they are, unless it's a fully dark thing, the backgrounds look, like I mentioned earlier in the one panel with Raph saying, what, I'm going to kick your ass. It's him in his black bandana, so he's green, and he's got his whatever trench coat on, and the back, the very small part of the background is red. Uh-huh. And then it changes to orange, and then it changes to like a yellowish orange, and the colors keep changing as the emotions keep happening. And then, you know, we get all the snowy scenes and the outdoor scenes for Northampton, so that's kind of like blue, white, and the trees are brown. Like, it's such good stuff.
As I was looking at this, I wanted to ask Sophie, like, what is the process that goes into creating this particular image or that particular moment in writing? And like you just noticed with the colors there, I've wanted to watch Rhonda color a page while talking through all of the decisions, because it's fascinating to me that this comes together like this. And oh, so good.
So good. So, so very good. Absolutely. It just, it's just amazing. And again, the transition from scene to scene, like Donnie's at April's, you know, you have Sally and Raph and Jenny in a place. Then you have, you know, Leo and Mikey in a certain, you know, certain area. And Mikey, oh, poor Mikey. He has lost Clunk. And he's looking everywhere. And I understand this, but I didn't when eventually what happens, and we'll talk about it. But like, when Clunk shows back up, I'm like, yeah, where are you? Because he looked everywhere. Like, but like, oh my God, this is it's like Mikey when he lost Woody's friendship, the pizza dude, the pizza delivery dude, Woody. Mm-hmm. From, you know, it's the same thing. You know, he loses his cat. You know, he's been with this, he's had this cat for however long, and he goes and looks for him, and then Leo shows up, and what's wrong, Mike? And again, you know, loss gets them talking. Loss brings them together. Just like loss brings all of us together. You know, mm-hmm. if something, you know, something happens to one of us or all of us, you know, or, you know, my mom passed away in 2015. Karen passed away in 2021. Everybody has been there for me in both of those times when I needed them in whatever capacity I needed them to. I had to move across the damn country from Washington to Indiana, and I had to basically fundraise that because I didn't have the funds to do that. And I raised, you know, just over $4,000 to move my entire life across the country, and I
wouldn't even know how to do that.
And it's, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. And
hey,
you know,
hey Mike, on that laugh and note, I need to take a few minutes, okay, and run upstairs and see what's, yep, up. So like, okay, I don't know, come edit on point or something. I will. If I close this, can I click on it again to open it, or do you need to send me another invite, or should I just leave it running?
Oh, just leave it running. It's fine. Okay. I'll pause the recording.
All right. So. I will be right back as soon as I can.
5507 edit. All right. Test, test, test.
Say testies. Something. Testies. One, two, three?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
What's that from? No. Is that from something?
Well,
or did I make that up?
I don't know. So no clue. All right, 5528 edit point. Where the hell was I? Okay, so yeah, we were talking about the colors and the color changes and how well, obviously, hello, it's been a decade. We know how good Rhonda is with colors, but the color change and the art style with Sophie and just the combination works so, so well. And, oh, man. We get back to, you know, Mikey losing or not finding the cat and Leo kind of consoling him and all that. And I find this really interesting because I never, my entire life, it's always been Leo and Raph and Donnie and Mikey. Never would I put Leo and Mikey together. Not that I don't like it, but it's just not what I ever like. Leo and Raph, they always fight. They always make up. Whatever. Donnie and Mikey, you know, they got pork rinds or they got pizza or what, you know, whatever. Like,
and then there's 2012, the A team and the B team.
Yep.
What just struck me as you're saying that is that it's Mikey and Leo who are the two that are most tied to Splinter. Mikey being the youngest, the kid needs the guidance, needs the leadership, and Leo, who's the Boy Scout, the oldest, the leader, the one who works under Splinter and looks up to him. You know, Donnie and Raph can kind of make it on their own. Donnie, just because he disassociates and loses himself in his work, but Raph, because he's the solo guy. But Mike and Leo would have the hardest time getting over this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get that scene, and then we go to Donnie and April kind of like sneaking through the city because they're trying to get back to Mutant Town. And we cut to the escaped mutanimal mutants or whatever they are, the new characters. And they come across this little character we saw earlier that Jenica and Alapex were trying to get to come into the shelter. And wow, this is just crazy.
Yeah, I think this little albino turtle is going to be very, very important.
Uh-huh. If we didn't already have... And I know it's a turtle, and that's fine. That's not... But, like, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We already have Usagi. What the heck is going on here? But yeah, no, absolutely. This little albino turtle is going to be... kind of like not necessarily the next pepperoni, but close enough. And of course, you know, Hob comes in and ruins the party or ruins the whatever.
Yeah. Cause the little, oh, what are they? Ferrets?
Yeah. They are. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll come to me. I know what they are. But they ravaged the little shelter that Alopex has set up. They went in and ate everything and ran out. And so they're Jenica and Mona Lisa are trying to track them down to follow them because they were kids and they had tags on their ears and they need to help them. And they show back up with old Hob because they went home.
Yeah. And Hob here is just because you can see somebody's point of view doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, so he goes on to, you know, so he says, someone's got to make the hard decisions to keep Mutant Town going. Someone has to make arrangements to bring in food and supplies for the people here. And I'm the only one who can. And he goes on and on and on. I have a responsibility to the mutants here. And he's right. He does have a responsibility because, hello, he set the damn bomb off.
Mm-hmm. He got what he wanted.
Yeah.
But Hob is no, he's no charismatic good leader. He does not have good ideas. I was looking at this page in this section, thinking all the way back to issue one, and remember thinking, oh man, they created a new big villain for them, and then it's this weird cat. And here he is. He's part of the whole story. He's a full character. We understand his motives, his thoughts, his feelings. It was neat to watch that happen.
Yeah, absolutely it was. And it's one of those things where his evolution, like you said, he now has what he's wanted since issue one. You know, he always was like, oh, mutants only, no humans, this, that. Well, he's got at least one section of one section of New York City, you know. And I do love, you know, as we end this issue where Sally and old Hob are kind of fighting over this whole thing and everything else, and she's like, the mutanimals are over, and the issue ends. What a cliff.
There's a whole feeling of somebody punching Hitler in that picture up above it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't, you can't right cross somebody like that. And
Nope, not at all.
And in the Ninja Turtles Adventures series, Raphael punched Hitler.
Yep.
He went back in time. I'm wondering how close the panel mirrors that. Not that you can't do that and not mirror Captain America doing it all the way back, but still.
Yeah, anyway. True. Yeah, absolutely. And we get to the next part of the story here, and I love Sophie's cover for this issue with Sally on the cover and her just, you know, essentially getting suited up with her glove and all that. I love the way she looks. So good. So awesome. So we get the next part of the story, and they're all kind of, you know, just, oh my God, this was a battle. This was whatever. And Koya and Bludgeon are, Koya's pissed, and Bludgeon's just like, and they kind of fly off, and you know, everybody's talking about turf, and Hob's like, turf, grow up, you idiots. And we are left with Jenica, Sally, the new ferret animals, Mona Lisa. And
this little unnamed turtle, albino turtle that they name Lita.
Yep. And I like this because I've said this for 10 years now. This comic isn't for kids. This series is not for, like, I wouldn't, like, I don't know. You're a parent. Would you give this to a 10-year-old?
I don't think he'd get it.
I don't think I get it either, but I like that they're bringing, the reason why I'm saying this is because I like that they're bringing in, you know, we have this mutant bomb that went off. We have all these new mutants, and we have some of them who were kids. And mm-hmm. I like that addition to the story. I'm glad I said addition, not complication.
It's an interesting, I don't know, maybe I'd have to reread the whole series again, but I think with issue 101, it mm-hmm. really is not a comic that a kid would be entertained by. I think a kid could be entertained with most of 1 through 100 at some points or another, but this is a slower, more emotional, more internal story.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's a more adult story.
Yeah, but I mean, this scene, it just feels like, and I'm not saying, I don't say this to be negative, But this scene where it's after the old, you know, the fight with old Hob and Sally and all that, and they're meeting these new kid mutants, you know, this whole scene where Jenica is, you know, kneeling to them and, you know, what are your names? And mm-hmm. I'm Zink and I'm Mushroom and I don't have a name. And how about we call you Lita? How's that? You know, it feels like it kind of feels like somebody that I used to watch, like an episode of Sesame Street. Like this is what, and I'm saying this because I love it. I think it's great. I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I think it's one of those things where, you know, because Splinter is gone and you now have these little ones, you have to show that, like, these two ferrets basically started bullying this turtle kid. You know, they you know, whatever. And
does has that happened later? I remember there's a bullying incident, but I don't think it was the ferrets.
Okay, maybe it was the other. Oh, that's right. It's Diamond later, I think.
No, there are kids that bully Lita at the dojo that we haven't, we don't know
about yet. Okay. Yeah.
I think that was what made the turtles realize that the ferrets weren't evil, was when they saw Lita playing with them. They're like, oh, they're just kids and throwing snowballs back and forth. And then old Hob showed up.
So Jenny and all of them return to the shelter with Alopex, and Donnie's there. And Don, I just wanted to help. This place seems great. Got to help fix it back up and then some. You know, so we got Donnie and Mona Lisa and all that. I love Mona Lisa. Are you a ninja too?
Oh, and better yet, I like machines as well.
mm-hmm. They're weasels, because Alopex calls them weasels.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. What were you going to say?
No, that was it.
Nope.
Alopex goes to the alley in the back to throw out some trash and sees Raph hanging out back there. And I love the moment with her after she talks to him and, you know, Don's in there. She goes, hey, Donnie, Raph's out back, just to force the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because Raph isn't going to force the situation. He is content sitting there with Pepperoni. And
he thinks he's content, but he's not.
Yes,
content.
But right. But I'm saying, like, before she came out, he's not content, but before she came out, I'm sure he would have sat there and brooded all night long with Pepperoni. But she's like, and I don't dislike it, okay? But I'm going to tell you, there are very few moments in this series where I have been utterly shocked. And it's been a long time coming with these two, but I was utterly shocked at the moment they have in a little while. Because she's out here, you know, putting her arms around him and cuddling up close to him. And then obviously she goes hey, Don, like you said, Raph's out back. And we get, you know, Raph and Don and Pepperoni and
Jenica comes out.
Jenica comes out. But before Jenica comes out, let's talk about these few panels here. So Donnie comes out, he sees Pepperoni and Raph, he sits to our right. So he's on Raph's left side and Pepperoni is on Donnie. She's got her front paw. She's basically on her hind legs, you know, just, you know, kind of like a dog would do, whatever. But you see Raph scowling and you see Donnie kind of interested in Pepperoni. And then Raph puts his head on Don's shoulder. You're killing me over here, Sophie. You're killing me. Like, and then Donnie does, you know, he puts, and then we got Pepperoni on Donnie's lap. And, you know, Raph says, I missed you, man. And Don says, me too. And they have, you know, this little bit of conversation. And then Jenica comes out and it's the three of them.
And Raph's trapped in the middle.
Yep. Pretty much. Raff doesn't want to be. So what now?
Where does it go? I think in at several points when the turtles have come back together, like it's been a strained relationship, and they start like Don comes out and he's with Raff for a minute, and. Mm-hmm. Like Raph is thinking, this is going to be hard. This is going to be unfortunate. This is going to be terrible. It's going to be difficult. And I think they kind of lay this groundwork silently or even out loud to say, like, all right, let's just not make this weird. It's hard. We know that. All right, let's just do. And I think that happens several times to help get them back together.
Yeah. Now, it's a good thing in that very first panel I mentioned when Donnie first comes out and he sits down and Pepperoni is to the right part of the screen, basically on Donnie's left leg. It's a good thing Donnie and Raph's positions weren't switched, because I would swear, pretty nice night, isn't it?
Nice night.
You know what I'm talking about. The listeners may not know, but, you know, pretty nice night, isn't it? Yeah, nice night. Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
And, like, you know, seriously? That's an interesting – that conversation in the movie, they're sitting there talking about Splinter maybe dying. Like, in the future, someday, how are we going to get along with it? And Mikey's just not having it, not handling
– handling it 30 years ago. He's not handling it now in the comic. And I love that. But just seeing Raph and Donnie sitting next to each other, that was my first thought.
References like, that scene, I think, a little bit.
A little bit. Which is fine. I love it. I think it's great. So we go back to Northampton.
Oh, we should also mention there, that was Raph and Don having a moment, the two that we don't usually see get together.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And again, Jenica has added this whole new dynamic to them, because she is now a turtle. But yeah, we don't see, you know, Raph and Don usually have the moment. Like, usually it's, you know, Leo and Raph will fight, and then, you know, they'll hug in a bathtub.
Yeah, I don't think Leo in that same role, I don't think that'd have gone as smoothly.
No.
Leo would have put his foot in his mouth, and Raph would have gotten irritated.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, because now that I say that, even though that moment earlier was very much like the sewer scene with Donnie and Mikey in the movie, that whole moment with Donnie and Raph in this comic is not Leo and Raph standing in a tub, you know, Leo, let it go. They hug. And of course, behind them is Donnie and April. Such a Kodak moment, you know, that's not what this is. And that's okay. I'm not, you know, what each thing needs to have its own thing. And like I said earlier, I'm not used to Donnie and Raph being teamed up. I'm used to Donnie and Mikey and Leo and Raph, but this works so well. And the three of them essentially, along with Pepperoni, come home to Mikey.
You know, I'm thinking back to the original, well, the first arc that Sophie wrote, which was the Northampton run.
Yep.
That was another time where the turtles were defeated and emotional. She is a writer of characters.
Absolutely.
And of growth and internal stuff.
Oh, I need to correct myself. This is not so when they come home, it's Leo looking out to see Jenica, Raph, and Don.
Oh, yep.
It's not Mikey. It's Leo. And he's got a Christmas tree on his shirt. Okay, I know technically it's not his shirt. Technically, normally the turtles don't wear clothes, but they're wearing clothes. And I don't mind them wearing clothes. That's fine. I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. But the fact that he's wearing it, I mean, I know it's winter and all, but you know, wearing a Christmas shirt?
Come on. A Cosby sweater.
That's verboten these days, I think, considering the person that person is,
oh yeah,
or that he's been this whole time, or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, so we have essentially the reunion here with everybody. And Mikey comes out and says, you know, we'll find Clunk. We'll find him. Wait, is that him? Now this is where I got confused. Okay. Uh-huh. Earlier I mentioned about how Mikey, like the cat ran away or the door was open and the cat ran out. Where in the hell does the cat come from? They looked everywhere for this damn cat and it just appears. Like we don't see how it. Yeah, it's on the porch. But like we don't ever see it on the porch before now.
Uh-huh.
You know, where were you hiding? Blah blah blah. And they're all laughing and they all have a good laugh and we see all this laughter and they're all kind of cackling and Leo says, "Oh man, I haven't laughed like that in a while." Leonardo laughs. Really? I know he does, but you know. And then they have a bonfire.
God yeah, and damn. You can't have the turtle sitting in front of a fire without bringing uh-huh. the movie reference.
Yeah.
Leo.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you drag this out of here for nothing...
Don't worry. I came prepared. Put those away. Now, everybody, close your eyes and concentrate. Mm. Concentrate hard.
I am proud of you, my sons.
Yeah, you're right. You can't have a fire without thinking of, you know, my sons. And I'm glad. It works here. It's great. I'm so glad the flames didn't turn blue.
Yeah, I don't need that heavy-handed of a reference. But the turtle sitting around a bonfire is healing.
Yeah.
Makes absolutely. Me wonder if that happened in the first Northampton run.
Maybe, yeah. And I like how... Like, we know that Mikey is the party dude. Mikey is always, like, in general, maybe not this Mikey, but I am so glad that neither him nor Don or anybody else... Marshmallows?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the fire is more than enough of a reference to, you know, pull us back to whatever. And they're talking about the kids and the young mutants and whatever, and talking about, you know, about Splinter, and there's something constructive they can do. We can teach them. We can pass on everything that he taught us. What if we made a new clan? Anybody could join. You know, and the Splinter Clan, and I just wish, I understand why the bandanas are there, and I get it, but come on. Jenica still has her bandana. Like, she still wears it. She still... Come on, I just want Bandana Turtles one more time.
Well, that, I think that's the symbolic thing here, is yeah. at Splinter's grave, their bandanas were tied around this
yep.
branch, yep. and then they take them off the branch. They take them with them.
Oh, that's... Okay, yeah. It's in shadow. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep, they have them in when they go back to New York. They take the bandanas with them. There's this mysterious guy as they
untie those. Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is that guy?
I know who that guy is. Do you know who that guy is?
No, I don't know. I don't remember who that guy is.
I know who that guy is. In the dream world, Splinter asked him to take care of his children.
Oh, right.
That's, okay. Like, that's Ghost Shredder.
Oh, shit, you're right. Wow, that's... Yep. yep. Holy crap.
He's been in the background of several panels before this as well.
Oh, I haven't noticed.
And I had a feeling that he was the one who had something to do with Clunk disappearing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then reappearing. You know, yeah, I don't know how much... Maybe I'm reading into that, but I have a feeling
maybe, yeah.
Clunk was hanging out with Shredder for a while.
Yeah. So they go back to New York, or Mutant Town anyway, and I mean, it's still all New York, but, you know, the Mutant Town, and they're fixing up the place, and we have Lita and the other ones meeting...
The Weasels, yeah.
We have the Weasels meeting Clunk and Pepperoni, and... It's so good to see them all back together again.
One of my big gripes with a lot of comic book stuff and with the movies and TV shows is that they always are trying to get the characters into the world-ending moment, and we never get to see them have their status quo. We never get to see them have a moment of peace. And with Sophie's arc here, I'm so thankful for slower, more relaxed, more celebratory sorts of character moments like this. Like, this is so great. The Turtles deserve a break. They've had 100 issues of living through heck. They can take this character moment. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, everything you just said, you're absolutely right. It's a comic that all five of these issues have been, and this is the end. This is the, like you're saying, it's not, we are not at a point where we already had the quote unquote world ending moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote unquote villain and hero died. We lost Splinter. Shredder died. You know, Shredder would also die. You know, like, we've already, like, issue 100 was, like, hello, you know, 10, 11 years, whatever. Well, like, you know, 100 issues of a comic leading up mm-hmm. to that one climactic battle. And now we have not necessarily the fallout of that, but we have a new status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Turtles have to fill the Splinter role. All mm-hmm. of them do, together as a family.
And I'm going to flip ahead a page or three from where I'm at. Yep, okay. So you talked about the cliffhanger ending yep. and not being able to wait, and how yeah. we're always waiting for the last page of a comic where everything just gets worse. And, you know, I want to see my heroes on their days off. I want to see them...
Yep.
Recover and rest, and yeah, when they're all back together, they're building the shelter back up, and this issue ends with not a cliffhanger like that, but they're going out together.
Yep.
Hanging out like they've never been able to hang out before.
They go to the Kennel Club with the mutant bands, because we're talking
to see about a metal show.
Yep. I love it.
It's so cool.
It is so cool. And I'm trying to figure out. Is it Jenny? Yeah, it's Jenny. You guys ready for this? Like, and then we get, at least in the trade, we get the alternate covers. And yeah.
Of the next issue or of this issue?
Of, oh no, I'm so sorry. I forgot. Yeah, you guys ready for this? And then it goes to the next issue. And yeah, you're right. It's
because I love the cover of this. They've got the lead singer of this metal band who is a pink-haired, leather-clad mutant pig.
Yep.
And the crowd is in front of them. Yeah, except for Raph, who is in the foreground going, eh, with his hands over, over where his ears would be.
Poor Raph.
I can relate to Raph in that moment.
Yeah. And what I love here, again, the colors.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at this panel, okay? The panel that you're talking about. You see
the cover?
No, not the
inside
cover.
The inside for page one. Gotcha.
Yeah, page one. Like, mm-hmm. you see the after bomb or after the... Oh, it's the after the bomb concert or whatever. So that panel is purple. The panel with Leo and all of them is blue because it's focusing on Leo. Raph and Alopex are that might be Sally. They're covering their ears. That's red, so that's red for Raph. Orange for Mikey, and then, you know, purple for I love that they did that. That mm-hmm. is so cool.
Oh, I think. Well, that's weird. They're not in each other's colors, because the purple is the concert, and it's kind of an everybody shot.
Yeah,
Leonardo one is that's Mikey and Jenica in blue.
Oh,
Raph and Alopex in red,
right?
And then, with their ears,
yeah.
And I think that's Mikey trying to push his way through the mosh pit.
Yep,
but he's in his own color. No, that's not Mikey.
No, that's Leo.
Would that be Leo? Seems to me that the bottom panel, the purple, is Leonardo meditating. Yep, scar on the eye. That's Leo.
Okay, yeah, that's Leo.
So that'd then, be Don in the mosh.
So that would be Don. Yeah. Yeah, because Mike. Okay, yeah. You're right.
Wow, it's. I mean, but that I don't mind having to work like I.
Oh no.
Just did. Yeah. That's half the fun, and you're right. The color is. Man, I can't color anything. I look at this and just the mono. What you can pull off with monochromatic panels, mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Yep. And then we get.
What? Man, and then the next page two, these wonderful tertiary colors, dull purple and aqua green, the pink, the man.
Yep.
Oh, it's all okay. It's representing the flashing lights of the concert.
Yeah.
It's not just even an energetic response. Okay. Yeah. Oh gosh, it's so brilliant.
it is so brilliant. Well done, Sophie and Rhonda. Amazing. Even though you confuse us half the time. And then we get to the soap opera scene. God. This is the scene where I was like, what just happened? I mean, I'm glad it happened, but...
Yeah, you know, I feel like I shouldn't be watching this, you know? I feel they don't want me there.
Yeah, no, this is...
I'm going to let them have a moment. Well, it's... Where I am with the energy of this, it's Raph and Alopex having a moment, and I've called it from the beginning that Alopex is an analog for the character Ninjara from the animated comics, which was never licensed into the Mirage universe that Nickelodeon got the rights to, and so we have Alopex, who I think Sophie is responsible for back in the Northampton run, I think.
Yeah.
She invented this character.
I think.
An analog for Ninjara. And they're having their moment. They're coming back together. And then we have this kiss, which just kind of. And I think I love that my characters are getting together, the two that I've wanted to get together since I called it way back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm uncomfortable because you can't do that in a comic and not reference the furry movement.
Yeah.
And like the Aniverse animal cartoons from the 80s and the weird underground, weird furry stuff that...
Yeah.
I've glanced at it and said, oh, that's not for me.
I mean, like I said,
it's not what's going on here. It's not that.
No. Like I said, this is very much a soap opera emotional,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they have a moment alone. No one else is around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sit here and talk and.
And these characters are not doing that for our gaze, G-A-Z-E.
Oh, no.
And the interesting thing that occurred to me now is that Ninjara was a furry character who went on to do very adult things in another series after the Archie run ended.
Oh, no.
Oh,
boy.
Whether that was official or unofficial, but it happened.
it happened.
So that's where partially... I'm uncomfortable. The other part of it is that I'm not meant to be seeing. I should be, you know, I'd avert my eyes if I were walking down the street just to show, just to give them a little room and respect, but you know.
Yeah.
And I did love this moment too. Bludgeon and Koya are up on the roof. They are watching this whole thing go down and Bludgeon's calling it like it is. It's no, this is a good moment. This is positive. They're there. They're dancing. They're listening to the music and Koya doesn't understand it. Doesn't get it.
Bludgeon's like, I believe it's called fun. Ugh, Black, I hate fun. And you can clearly tell that Bludgeon doesn't mind it, and Koya she's still in that mindset of soldier, of Foot Clan, of this, of that, of what, and that's her personality, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
It's neat to see Bludgeon and Koya getting more personality that I haven't seen them get. And this is not what I would have expected from Bludgeon, you know, the mindless killer shark character. Like he gets the character. He gets the human moments.
Yep. Absolutely.
Or mutant moments. It's being inclusive.
Yeah. I mean, And we get the after the concert moments of everybody kind of meeting the band and all that, and very, very interesting. And you know,
it's another moment I want to call attention to.
Yep.
Jenica's, well, she is a rock and roller. She's a plays guitar, or has when she had human fingers, and dated Casey, and that broke off because things got weird.
Yeah. You know,
her growing a shell and all that. But she's talking to the lead singer of the band, who is a lady pig.
Yeah.
And says, can I buy you a drink? And we're looking at that. And, you know, there's like, okay, we're hinting at a relationship here.
Maybe.
Potentially. You know? And... I know there are people out there who see moments like that in their Disney films and in their media like this, and it's like a trigger for them to say, oh no, they're pushing the agenda. And I look at this moment and I go, wait, agenda? Like,
what agenda? No,
this is representation. Like,
yeah,
these people like this exist, and they deserve to see themselves in media represented as casually as whatever I can identify with. And I think I'm thinking of that in this moment because that was a lot of the vitriol I saw on the internet was all of this. They're just pushing the agenda. No, dude.
No.
Representation. How can you not see representation? And the turtles being like symbols of inclusion, of bringing people into the family. Like, were you watching the same shows and movies and comics that I was when I grew up? I mean, you know, I have as open mind as I do because I read these things. What did you miss?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's two brand new characters. Like, hello, so let's just say right now that it's Raphinalopex and Jenica and the lady pig. I forget what her name is. I don't know if her name, I assume her name is Sed. Let me scroll back here and see. But
and if
anyway,
it's not, she's the name of the band.
Yeah. Yeah. The
lead singer.
Lead singer of the band.
We get her name.
Like, so you got Raphinalopex, you got Jenica and her. And really, those are the only couples you really, really have as far as mutantdom. You don't really have, like, Leo isn't, like, going after anybody, or, you know, Donnie isn't, you know, and there are no, and you're right, when you said earlier about when Jenica changed from a human to a turtle, her and Casey dating after that would have been a little weird. And, you know.
Well, I would say, would it have had to have been, and I'm wondering and hoping that they address that later when Casey shows back up, like, yo, Casey, dude, I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Casey.
Yeah, Casey.
I don't know how that, you know, I don't think we were around for the breakup. He just kind of like disappeared, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, we go back to Bludgeon and Koya and they're, you know,
Koya's like, we should jump them. They're vulnerable. They're not even armed. And Bludgeon's, I love that moment with Bludgeon. Like, no, let them have this moment of peace. And
like, hush, Koya. We need to let the, like you said, let them have. And finally, bandanas. Finally, thank God. Because like,
poor Wanda over there on that last panel, like, guys, there's only so many shades of green I can use. We need to.
Yeah. And I mean, even though, like, the turtles, the five turtles, let's say, because you got to include Jenica now, Mikey, Donnie, Jenica, Raph, and Leo. They all have, and I did kind of complain about this a number of years ago, like how many different shades of green they are. Like Mikey's one shade, Donnie's a different shade, Leo and Raph. I don't know if, no, they're not similar, they're different. But like, it doesn't matter because now we can really tell them apart. Mm-hmm. They are so defined in Sophie's style as far as who they are and what they're each about.
Oh, God, that's got to be so hard to keep consistent.
I know, right?
At the same point, I bet it just becomes second nature. Well, Donnie's got the rounded nose, and Leo's got the short, square nose. Raph has the long, square nose. Like, that probably will become second nature.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And just seeing where Leo says, where it's Alopex on the left, Raph, Don, Leo, Jenica, and Mikey, and Leo says, and now we're going to give ourselves to our new community, and despite our own imperfections, the Splinter Clan will serve the people of Mutant Town. We will honor and pass on the teachings and the spirit and the love of Hamato Yoshi. We will be his legacy.
Yeah, afterlife, you know, thinking about death, all of that stuff scares the tar out of me, but I think the one comfort that I have had is in thinking and realizing that the energy, the everlasting life comes from the effect that we have on other people. Yeah. Splinter's not dead as long as these four turtles, five. No, it's not even the turtles. And when I think I've noticed myself doing it several times this podcast, I say turtles, but I mean the family. I mean all of them.
Yeah.
Alopex and
yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
The whole Splinter clan.
It's the family remembering and passing on Splinter's teachings. And as long as they're doing that, and he's not gone, he's not dead, he's not forgotten, he's living. His energy is still living on through them like a wind in a sailboat.
Yeah. And then we kind of go back to everybody having their own adventures. Like, we have the Mikey, hell yeah, Splinter Clan, after Alapex puts on her green bandana.
I thought for sure it was going to be light blue because of her face tattoo, It could be green.
And it makes sense. I mean, okay, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 6 different shades of green between the turtles, the 5 turtles, and then Alopex's, I almost said Splinter, wow. Alopex's new green bandana. It's fine, it works. It works for her. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it'll, you know, whatever, it'll be whatever. And we go to the Splinter Dojo, or we're at the Splinter Dojo, and, you know, good form, you guys. Leo is teaching, Jenny is there. So they're teaching the young recruits, the Weasels and the young albino turtle, Lita. And we then go to Mona Lisa and who is that?
That's Don. They're working on the electrical downstairs.
Okay. So
this is where I think, oh, are we going to have a hookup here? Is it going to be Mona Lisa and Donatello?
Donatello, yeah.
She's again, like, you've been to college, girl.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sophie and Rhonda. I'm sorry. The only thing is, I didn't, at first, without looking at the word, just looking at the art, I didn't realize it was Don because that thing on his back and the goggles are blue banded. That's Leo's color.
Ah.
Make the shit purple, please. Like, come on. And that's just a small gripe. And of course, Mikey's in the kitchen cooking up a storm with pepperoni and the weasels and all that. And I Mikey, like you said over an hour ago, Mikey is the heart of this family.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome, Mushroom. Just don't steal from Clunk and Pepperoni's plates again. We promise.
Yeah.
Sure you do. You guys are so funny. Finish up. Almost time for bed. You know. And then we is like at first I was confused with this next scene where it's nighttime and I guess I shouldn't have been because obviously it's nighttime, but we see each of them in their own kind of places and their own spaces as far as sleeping quarters and things like that. And I think that is so cool. And then all of a sudden, not this again. Jenica is playing the guitar. And I haven't had a chance to practice, and I don't have human fingers anymore. And then everybody is up, and it's a family party in the middle of the night. I do have to say that there's one panel in here. So they've got everybody up. They've got everybody training. Everybody's there. So many new faces. Everybody ready? Yeah. So they start the training. And before we go to the wax on, wax off bonsai tree looking panel, right after they start the training, two panels after that, we see Alopex in the far left, the farthest part of the shot panel. Raph, Don, Mikey, Jenica, and I always love shots of the turtles, of the family like this, where you see all the characters and all the colors of the bandanas. Love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by, in my room here, several pages of the Ninja Turtles comics over the years, Mirage and the IDW and the Archie run. And I know that a page like that, where they're all appearing in the same panel, that's a very expensive page.
Yep.
I don't know why I say that. I hope that Sophie still has it and that it never sees the light of day, but the chance, the opportunity to draw something like that is so cool.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and this is just one, like, you say page, and I know what you're talking about. The whole page, the whole scene of each of the panels. But, like, all as I want is a framed picture, print, whatever, of the very bottom panel of, at least in the trade, page 110. that one panel with all of them together, I would love to have that on my wall. That would be amazing, because in the time since you and I recorded last, I've done two things, finally. Yes. So, during the whole time that Karen and I lived out in Washington, at one point or another, I found this artist, Camillo, it's Insta Camillo on Instagram. I'll put his Instagram link in the show notes on the website, folks, geekcastradio.com. But I found him and his friend, artist Jamie Johnson, did a Turtles in Time character select homage. Now, Camillo is over, like, literally across, like, on, like, when we were living in Washington, he was in, like, I don't think he's in Japan, but he's over, like, that side of the world. So, across the Pacific Ocean. So, I bought this print for, like, I don't know, 50, 60 bucks a couple years ago. And I've just left it in the tube. I took it out to look at it. And I've never taken it out until I moved here to Indiana, when I finally was able to buy a frame for it. And I bought a frame for it, and it is framed. I don't have it on my walls yet because I'm still working on where I'm going to put stuff. But I have that framed. And finally, I don't remember if it was you or if it was my buddy Doug. I think we mentioned to him
that... Yeah, we sent Doug to go get that print.
That's right. That's what it was. Okay, because Doug was going to San Diego Comic-Con that year. Right. Got it.
So that's there's no other way I was going to get Bobby Curnow's autograph.
Not unless we fly to wherever he's living. Yeah, no. but yeah, we each got Doug to get us the TMNT 44 to 50 print from Mateus Santoluco and Bobby and Tom and Kevin. Hello, Kevin Eastman. You know, and obviously Santoluco, you know, Mateus, they all signed it. I finally just got that out of its tube and framed. It's been so many years since we originally... I don't even know what year of Comic-Con that was. It had to have been 2014. When was issue 44? 44 to 50.
Probably 5 years ago.
At least 2017, 2016. Oh, yeah, at least that long. But, like, I've had, like... My ultimate goal, obviously, was to eventually get that. I now have it framed. And, oh, my God, that thing in a frame and the one that I grabbed from Jamie and Camillo is – they're both just such amazing pieces, and I absolutely love them, which is going to tie back into somehow, some way, I would love to have this final – not final, but this final – panel on the page here. That would be such a cool art print to have on a wall. That would be amazing.
You know, we have email addresses.
Yes. Feedback at geekcastradio.com.
No, I mean, we know other people's email addresses.
True. Yes. But see, like I'm not like, and I don't mean to say, I don't say this to disrespect artists. I wouldn't want the pencils of this. I want the full color image. That's what I want.
Oh yeah, I'm sure could. We could. We'll
maybe.
See. I would like the pen. I love pencils, but that's
yeah. I mean, I like pencils too, but like just
no. You need this. There's too much color going on in that.
Yeah, I mean, so many greens: red, purple, orange, yellow, blue. God, I feel like Gosling from the very first episode of Darkwing Duck singing the Ramrod song.
I wonder if I remember the code from that. Purple 2.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, God. The 90s are coming back, folks. 30 years. So we go on and we see that Leo is teaching the bonsai class, the plant class. We see Mikey is teaching them to use
nunchucks. Air quotes, teaching.
I'm hesitating to say teaching, but...
Well, I know he's doing a good job. It's those weasels. They're just...
Those weasels, man. And then Donnie and Bludgeon and...
Nope.
Couple,
That's not Bludgeon. Bludgeon's a hammerhead. That's just a friendly tattoo.
Okay. And then Raph and the porcupine one and Jenica and lead singer girl and the Lita.
Doing calligraphy.
I love this because they're all various different teachings. I think this is
and I needed the mundane. I needed the day-to-day.
Yep. And then I don't know what Alopex is doing with her students.
Oh, they're training invisibility, stealth.
Gotcha. Hide and seek. Got it. And then we get the panel with Leo and Jenny. That went really well, don't you think? Yeah, every day there's more people. It's great. We'll have to split them into two classes soon. And we get, you know, the kids kind of talking. You'll never get... Oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Oh. This is the bullying scene I mentioned earlier. No. No, don't, and stop. You know, bullying must be stopped, no matter the cost. And, yeah, that's just, oh, God. As much as I love Sophie and everybody else tugging at the heartstrings, I do not like. I don't know. This scene eventually goes okay because, you know, you have the turtles there who are helping Lita, and you know it's Jenica who says, "Hey, you! Those kids said I would never be a cool ninja. They said this, they said that," and Jenny just says, "Well, that's not true at all. Other kids can be jerks sometimes. They made fun of me too, and you know, really, how come?" And she goes into the whole reason, and she's basically helping Lita, you know, see the light. You know, I wasn't a turtle back then, sweetie. Anyway, you know, she says, "Anyway, the giraffe thing wasn't that bad, but back then it really hurt, so I get it. I get how mean kids can be. But look at me now. I'm an awesome ninja." You know, and it turns from a bad moment into such a touching moment. Again,
I think there's some symbolism here too. I think this is like a nexus point, turning point moment for Lita. I don't know. Do we spoil the ending of this?
I don't know either. I mean, it's been out for a while. They're on issue like 130 something, but yeah,
there's so many important things happening on this panel, on the last page.
Yes.
All right, everybody, if you want to be on top of this, you should stop now.
Yeah, you can fast forward about 3.5 to 4 minutes.
That adult Lita jumps out of a portal carrying a time tuner staff thing like Renette has.
Yep.
She's wearing a black gi with the Splinter Clan logo on it. She's got pink face tattoos. Yeah, that whole part about her being a super awesome, strong ninja, I think that happens. And I think it happened because of that conversation.
Yep. To be continued.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, God. I love it. I think it's great. And I love all the variant covers from all the artists. So, yeah, this story, man.
Yep. I love it more than I did the first time, and I enjoyed it the first time. I mean, I enjoyed it so much. I know I have another letter in the letters column coming up.
Oh, really? Which issue?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find out when I get there.
Okay, good.
I remember, you know, I read some reviews when it came out, and it's like, no, they have this all wrong. And I wrote Bobby and... No, guys. We'll see. We'll get there.
Yeah, another goal I have for 2023, folks, as this is the third week in January of the new year, we have got to get Bobby on for a new interview because holy crap.
I don't think he doesn't work for IDW anymore, does he?
I thought he did.
No.
Really?
No, I don't. When everything started to slow down with the pandemic, they canceled a bunch of titles, and whether on good terms or uncomfortable terms, they let a lot of people go, or probably encouraged some people to go. And I think Bobby was a part of that. I will go.
I'm looking now.
I still would like to talk to him about
absolutely.
Getting to 100. I don't think we talked to him since before 50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was definitely before 50 because we were leading up to that. Yeah. So we will find that out and we will, you know.
But yeah, so, yeah. I want to talk to everybody again. It's time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I want to talk to everybody we've already talked to, and I've got to find a way to Rhonda, please, for the love of all the colors in the world, please. We just want to have a conversation with you. We promise it will be fun. We promise it will, no pressure. It's only audio. It's okay.
and Mike will edit everybody to sound really smart, and we'll take out all the ums because Lord knows we just, I would love to talk to these people. And I think, I don't know. You and I have gushed on the colors since the beginning. And I think it's because I've never read a book where I've noticed them so much. And so I feel like I want to tell Rhonda how awesome she is and how much we appreciate the incredible amount of work that it's been to do. We're on a issue 130 something and she's never taken a month off. And
yeah,
like, golly,
I hate to say this, but I'm looking at Bobby's Facebook and it says he still works. It still credits him as works at, not worked. It's not past tense. And yeah, his Twitter does not have a website, but it says writer, editor, all around stand up citizen. Okay. Well, as of it hasn't been updated because his Twitter says as of January 12th of this year, news after exactly 12 years and so on. And he lists all the many, he has quit IDW publishing. That was January 12th of 2022. Oh, man.
Well, maybe he has time then if he's not editing this massive book with, you know, some 100-page Bible of chronology.
Yeah, I wish I kept up more. But yeah, oh, God. TMNT Reborn, Volume 1, Issues 101 to 105, they were amazing. Every single emotion you can feel was felt with characters you didn't know you were going to feel them with. Like I've said in the last 2 hours that we've recorded, never did I ever think I would have a moment where Donnie and Raph were the two that had the emotional moment, or Leo and Mikey having the emotional moment over the quote-unquote loss of the cat, because something going on with Ghost Shredder. Like you said, Ghost Shredder probably did he didn't do something to the cat, but he made the cat disappear.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Or whatever, and then the cat reappears.
Even though we didn't see anything, that's your headcanon now?
I think so. I think so. I don't know. Crap. But yeah. All right. oh boy. Yeah, we're going to need a quick break, folks. We're going to come back to give our rating and then close the show after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one!
Oh, hey! I caught something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the Geekcast Radio Network. We are Tooncast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy toon talk, and now we get the origins of toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all toons all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
Toycast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the Geekcast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. Toycast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to Toycast.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are back here inside the pull bag, episode 507. It's a new record. Not really, but it might be. And issues 101 to 105, just overall the entire story, 0 to 5. For me, it's a 5.
5 stars.
Yeah, there are, like I said, you know, and like I said before, you know, kind of joking, I'm not serious about the whole bandana thing, but please, bandana. And luckily, we have them back now, and I understand this, you know, I understood the story initially anyway, but, like, that was part of my kind of gripe was the, I don't know, especially when Rhonda throws in those colors for the lights at the concert, and we're like, which one's which? Which one is in which color? Because I thought they were all in their respective, but they're not. But overall, there is nothing wrong with these 5 issues, really.
Mm-mm.
From art to colors to letters to just everything.
Story, character development.
Yep. All of it is so good. 5 all around. So, Joe, this is the beginning of 2023. In the fall of 2023, you've got something going on.
I have another Geek Stuff garage sale happening. Should be one of the first couple of weekends in September. I'm going to see what the con schedules are for the surrounding area and then not double book over them.
Yes. So. That would, don't do that. That would not be good.
But we had with the one that we did coming out of the pandemic last year was the largest one we ever had. We've had 50 or so vendors, which is just massive compared to the 15 that we used to have. And this year, though, we were close to 60 vendors, and we had people that couldn't set up their whole booths. So it's a giant outdoor flea market where every booth is a cool geek booth.
Yeah,
with stuff that you might want. So it's a good day.
Very cool.
Look for us, because and the announcements are always made on the Facebook page. So facebook.com/geekstuffgaragesale. And that's us.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is so, so cool. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here inside the pull bag. I don't know what's coming up next. This is 507. I usually like to do something silly with numbers, and 508 is a Massachusetts area code, and I want to reach out to the people at Newbury Comics in Massachusetts, but I haven't yet as of this recording. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. I do know that hopefully in February, at the beginning of February, episode 509, you will hear hopefully myself, Edward, and Kendra Hale talk about Batman, White Knight, Harley Quinn. And then later in February, my buddy JT from Saskatoon and I are going to be doing Batman Beyond Neo Year. We're going to do it in 2 parts, issues 1 to 3 and then issues 4 to 6. Will be episode 511 and 512. And then we will be transforming Marvelous March here in 2023. Steve Megatron is going to join me. He's been wanting to do for years now the U.S. Marvel Transformers Classics run. So we are going to be doing volumes 2 through 7. That's going to run Transforming Marvelous March, and it's going to run into Autobotly April. So that's what's coming up here inside the pull bag for 2023 so far. With a few exceptions as far as like things being moved around and things like that. And I wasn't even sure we were going to get this done because poor Joe has been, you've had a rough time. Not that I think you really want to talk about this on air, and that's fine. But I kept asking you all last year. I'm like, when would you like to schedule this? When would you like to do this? Are you ready? Are you this? Are you that? And we're finally here and he's finally ready and it's going to be awesome. And yeah, so is there
anything? Well, I hope I'm back. It's been, you know, like we talked about during reading all those issues, it's been mental health
stuff,
and just like not having the mental currency. I've had time, and it doesn't feel like I've had time. And when I think I have time, I don't have the willpower. I can't do people right now, and my kids are exhausting, but at least they're
They're your kids, though, dude.
If they were annoying, it'd be a problem, but I actually like my children quite a bit.
Well, I would think you would like them considering, you know, you had them. Like,
well, you know, I think some people think of their children as work because they maybe have not molded them exactly in ways that make them pleasant human beings. And so I think it becomes a lot of work sometimes when they're annoying you and making bad decisions. My children don't make too many bad decisions. They're good people. So that's they're they pleasant to be around.
Yeah, that's because they come from good parents.
I hope so. Ask them in 20 years how badly we messed them up. We'll find out.
Oh, come on now. It can't be that bad.
They were raised by a child. I have more toys than they do. Neither of them play with toys, as that goes. They don't have imaginative play like I bet you and I did.
Yeah.
It's been something that I'm concerned about. Yeah. That's a podcast in itself, in and of itself.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, we can definitely – I will definitely have you on ToyCast to talk about that because, I mean, that's just the thing. Like, you know, this – okay, this is comics, folks. We got to get the heck out of here.
Yep. Look for us on another podcast. Have a good evening,
yes.
guys.
Yes, most definitely. Join us over on ToyCast at some point here in 2023. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our posts. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching platforms you want to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio and @ThePullbag. I am @TFJewandMike. Do you have a Twitter? I think you something about a
hot shirt. No, I did have a Twitter, but I deleted it from my phone because, you know, shenanigans are afoot. Oh, so
yes, but let's not. Twitter.
I'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've said this for many years now. Twitter's been a cesspool since 2014. A billionaire buying it is not going to change that. Anyway. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. As I said, next time, no clue. It might could be your origins, could be anything. I have not had time to plan yet. So for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Joe.
As always, make your greatest game to comics and eat that pizza.
Ooh, I want pizza.
Don't we all?
Check those dudes out. Dudes, nuts. They're robots. Robots? Let's rock!
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Clang? Did you say clang?